everybody, and welcome to Love It or Weeb It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone, or if it's just for the worst of the weebs.
I'm Jeff, and I think Barakamon is the best anime of all time.
And I'm Annie, and I think Rakugo, or Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju, is the best anime of all time.
And I'm another Jeff who says that Annie's wrong.
And I'm the
Shinju
same Annie.
Is boring.
No. It's absolutely not boring. Anyways, we hate each other, and we have different taste in anime, so here's our great opinions.
I have the correct taste, and you have the wrong taste. Today, we're sampling the first three episodes of Keep Your Hands Off Eizouken, which is available on Crunchyroll and VRV. So, Annie, what is the show about?
Okay, so the show is about three young girls, and two of them are really into anime. Asakusa is short and really into drawing like backgrounds and scenes, and she's really inspired by their school. And then her good friend Kanamori is not interested in anime at all, but is like a really good supportive friend. And they meet Mizusaki, who is like this model who also really loves anime, but she's like not allowed to like it because of her parents.
Same twins.
And they all get together. And they try to make an anime, and that's kind of what the series is about. It's about like their process and their trials, their ups and their downs. And yeah, that's pretty much the basics of the show.
Yeah. And, so the show is based on a manga by Sumito Owada, and I could really not find much information at all about this author. It might be their first series. They were also credited, according to the Anime News Network Encyclopedia, with key animation for the ending of the anime. So I'm thinking they might, you know, that's not something I'd seen before of a manga author who also worked on animation for the anime. But I was thinking, like, they clearly have an interest in animation production, even though they're a manga artist, not an animator. So, like I say, they were an animator for the ending. So, anyway, they don't seem to have much of like a legacy of other series or anything, but I guess it makes sense they dabble in both. But anyway, and the animation studio is Sciensaru, which is basically Masaki Yuasa, who is also the director of the series, his animation studio that he co-founded like 6 years ago. And Masaki Yuasa is one of the most famous anime directors in the current era. Some of the things he's most famous for, Mind Game, Kaiba, The Tatami Galaxy, Ping Pong, Night is Short, Walk On Girl, Lou Over the Wall, Devilman Crybaby, and most recently, at least for things that have actually released, Ride Your Wave. Although I guess that hasn't released in the States yet.
No, but I've seen ads that it's coming to theaters, though. So.
Yeah. I saw it on a plane just weeks ago,
okay,
while I was going to Japan. Yeah.
Flexing.
It was really good. Anyway, so yeah, I think Devilman Crybaby is what people most know him for nowadays.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't really love his animation style. I think it's very rough and intentionally weird in ways that I don't usually appreciate much.
I think I've only seen a couple things that he's done, like Night is Short, Walk On Girl, Ping Pong, Devilman Crybaby, and like it is like a weird art style, but I think it actually works really well for this particular show. But in other shows, I'm kind of like a little confused sometimes.
Kaiba is like not at all how it is. Describe the other ones in terms of being weird. It's like more cutesy. Yeah, I don't know. It's like a Ping Pong, I think, is the most extreme of like
all of them.
Yeah, it's like rough on purpose in ways that I really should give another shot at, but I couldn't get into. I was like, I just don't like how it looks. It's not pretty. Like, it's intentionally not pretty.
Yeah, I think it looks cool and it like definitely sets a tone. But like Night is Short, Walk On Girl was still, it was pretty, mm-hmm, and it was cool. But at times, like, I know the point of it was to distort reality, but that's just what his art style kind of says. But that does really work really well for Eizouken, of like the distorting reality and stuff.
Yeah. So yeah. So let's get into our general thoughts about the series. What before we dive into, you know, it's only three episodes we're talking about, but in case you haven't seen the show yet and want to know if it's worth watching, we're going to avoid spoiling details in the three episodes, and then we'll dive into spoilers. So what'd you think?
All right. In general, I thought it was really cute and it was really fun for me as a person who likes anime. I don't think I'd necessarily...
You, a person watching an animation production, is someone who likes anime?
Listen, someone who likes it a lot, this is cool and fun. I don't think I would recommend it to people who don't like anime or aren't interested in anime production. Because, like, it's fun seeing all of, like, the cool processes that they're going through and the different art style changes. But if I was not into anime, this would be kind of boring because there's no real, like, for me, there's no compelling story other than they want to make a thing. Like, there's no stakes.
Yeah, that is kind of pretty similar to how I feel in that, like, so one of my favorite anime in recent years is Shirobako, which is another anime about the production process of making anime.
No.
Well, you don't like it?
Oh, I didn't like that one.
Because you have bad taste and you're wrong, even though we are agreeing right now.
Listen, it was too stressful.
I don't know. It's weird because that show has like a very rosy outlook on the animation industry because it is an industry infamous for like overworking its people to death at points, and like, and instead it's presented as like, oh my god, just work really hard and everything will be great. And ironically, this series has, it's like in some ways more realistic, in other ways much less realistic. But anyway, so I was coming into it like, oh man, this is going to be similar to Shirobako, but with like a potentially more interesting set of cast characters and with a more interesting director that seemed like a lot of potential there. And instead, I'm like, okay, so it's definitely topic and material that I really like. And I like the character designs, but like, not sold on there being any good story behind it yet. My opinion kind of turned around by the end of the third episode we watched, but I'm very like uncertain if the story is going in an interesting direction or not.
Yeah.
Kind of my philosophy with what I want to do with this podcast is find the stuff that is like the stuff that's worth championing to people who don't watch tons of anime, don't watch every anime of the season.
Yeah.
And the stuff that's like, this is so good that it's worth watching even if you don't watch other anime. And it's weird because that's definitely how I'd heard lots of people talk about the show this season. Like a lot of people who are like, if there's any anime worth watching this season, it's Eizouken. And like you were saying, it's like, okay, if you're really interested in animation production, then yeah, that statement holds up. But if you're just like a casual anime fan who's like undecided about anime, it's like they probably wouldn't like it.
Yeah, for sure. Like if you're a person who you just watch anime every now and then and your favorite's like My Hero Academia and like Naruto, like this is definitely not in that same genre. Like a lot of people, like this is way more artsy and more slice of life. I would say it's not even that slice of life because it's mostly like fantasies that they're having and like their ideas coming to life, which is cool. But again, I'm not like, I have less information on the characters and more of like their art. Hmm. And it's not as compelling for me to watch these three girls who I do actually like their characters, but I don't know enough. Like, why are you making anime? Why are you so passionate about it? Other than just like, oh, this is how this certain technique is used. Or this is what we're using for this like scene. Like to me, that's not as fun. If I didn't like anime.
Like what you're saying about the characters, like I like all their design, but like I didn't even know their names until you read. Like I remembered Asakusa mainly because that's a district in Tokyo, or a neighborhood in Tokyo, and that confusing when I heard it. And also, when I was in Japan 2 weeks ago, went to a pop-up shop that was there. And in writing a tweet, like, they had for sale hats that were similar to her. I don't know what kind of hat that's called.
The bucket hat.
Yeah, the bucket hat kind of thing. And in making a tweet about that, I had to look up her name. So now I remember names of the episode, but I don't remember the other two girls' names. And even after you read them, I've forgotten already. And I don't know. It's a weird...
Yeah, it speaks to how we don't care about them as, like, characters yet.
But I think, like, especially whatever tall girl is named...
Kanamori.
Yeah, so... She's, like, a really interesting character design, and her backpack is amazing, which it's really hard to explain. It's made to look like it's two shoes, which is that real or based on? That was not sold at the pop-up shop. Very disappointing.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah. But.
She's great. Yeah. She's my favorite character by far, because I feel like I have more information to go off with her. Like, she has a clear motive because she doesn't like anime like the other two. But she like explains exactly why she's getting into this situation with them. And also she's a good friend.
Yeah.
But like if we had to call it right now, as of like these three episodes in, which we do, if I say whether I love it and would recommend it to everyone, or if it's like, I think it's just for like a certain set of weebs. Who like anime production and are interested in that. Like, it's great if you like those things, but if you don't, like, I wouldn't recommend this. That's my spoiler-free verdict on that.
All right, so now we are going to get into some more spoiler-filled thoughts on these episodes. So if you want to go watch it before you listen, go watch it. Otherwise, we're going to figure out, we're going to declare... whether we're locking it in to review this by the end of the season, at the end of the episode. So, yeah. Annie, can you remind me what happened in these episodes? I have forgotten.
So, we watched the first three episodes of the show, and let's see. So, episode one. Get ready. So, Asakusa and Kanamori are just hanging out, and Asakusa says that the school reminds her so much of, like, a crazy... like, anime world, because it was, like, built really crazy and weird, like, on a lake, or no, on a, like, a river, and then, like, the clock's facing the wrong way, and the buildings are, like, all different kinds of shapes, and it's, like, really cute and fun. And so you see her drawings and everything.
That was actually one of the first points in the show where I was really confused with what direction it's headed towards, because it's, like, maybe I was thinking too much in the frame of Shirobako, where... Shirobako is, like, trying to be as realistic, obviously with a coat of, you know, sugar on top, but otherwise, like, it's, like, real-life settings and everything. And this is, like, oh, they're in, like, a fantasy school that... But it just seems so weird that the rest of the show seems to be about them taking, like, mundane things and with the sheer power of their imagination, like, imagining these, like, crazy scenarios and, like, basically... representing the creative process as these fantasy sequences. But then it's like, oh, also they live in an anime world. Like, when she's like, I don't think that's not, like, supposed to be a real place. Like, they're, it just feels weirdly contrived to be like,
I feel like it could be based on a real place.
I don't know.
Like, it could definitely, to me, it feels like, yeah, their building's weird, but a lot of buildings are weird in real life, and we don't look at it that way. We don't look at it as, like, oh, this could be, like, a crazy different world, and she does. It is, like, a little, it's a little more weird than most buildings, obviously, but it is, like, cool that she sees immediately in her head that it's, like, this could be an anime world, or a background, or a setting, and...
That just rubbed me the wrong way when it's like, it's going to be anime world. And it's like, it is because you are in the anime. Like, it's...
Well, yeah, if you want to get too technical about it, but let's enjoy these children's imaginations, okay?
I mean, I guess that's supposed to be the point, because the show is extremely meta. Like, it's about... It's an animation about creating animation and... it handles that for the most part pretty well and with interesting accents. So I guess I shouldn't complain about it.
Yeah, you shouldn't. But anyways, then the girls go to the anime club's like screening of like whatever short they made. And they run into Mizusaki.
No, I don't think that was supposed to be a short that the anime club had made.
They were just doing... Okay, so they go to the anime club.
That was like
they were just watching an anime. Actually, you know what? You're right, because it's a real anime that I can't put my finger on.
I forget. I remember when that episode came out.
It's an actual...
A lot of animation nerds are like, oh my god, they're referencing this... I don't know if it's actually... I don't think it's obscure, but it's obscure in today's modern anime culture because it's old enough that people don't reference it as much, but it's like was foundational in Japanese animation history.
I can't for the life of me remember the name of it, but I did see a side-by-side of the original animation and what they did in Eizouken, so I should have remembered that.
I really like how there is, like, there's a club that is just about watching anime, and then they're like, we want to be a club about making anime, and they're like, oh, no, they're too similar, because it just reminded me of when I was in high school and there was an animation club or an anime club. And one of the other people in the club, I remember like talking about how it was like, we're not just watching anime, we're discussing the culture and all this stuff. And it's like, no, we aren't. Mm-hmm. We aren't doing that. It's just kids sitting around watching anime. Like,
actually, that comes up later on in episode 3 when they're talking about why they should be allowed to make anime. It's like, oh, well, the other club is labeled as the Anime Culture and Research Club.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, like, just, like, the anime club in general. So Kanamori is just like, we should be able to make anime, like, stop trying to police us.
Yeah.
Because she's like, anime's film, too. Which was a cute, fun moment. But back in episode 1, they run into Mizusaki. They, find out that she loves anime, but her parents won't let her do it. And then they form the film club under the guise of it being for live action. So her parents are pleased and the school's not mad. And I thought that was really cute. But I was also just like, why don't you just not tell your parents you're in the anime club? Like, why don't you just lie?
There might be more context that we're missing of, like, you might be more formal documentation of what club you're in Japanese schools.
Oh, you're right.
But yeah, it's really resonating with me because I feel like I, as an anime viewer, am oppressed because no one recognizes my anime taste, and instead I have to pretend that it's film for people to appreciate it.
No, Jeff. but it was, I thought it was cute because in the very beginning of episode 1, I forgot to bring this up, it's like the first instance of kind of setting the tone for what the show's going to be. And I did really like that it was like when Asakusa's like a little kid and she falls in love with anime and then she just starts drawing. And then the world, when they move into a new apartment, she starts drawing the apartment and like everything outside and creates her own little world. And like all the sound effects are like things that she's noises she's making with her voice. And I thought that was like really cute and really cool. I was like, this is a great start, great tone for the show going forward. And they do keep that up when they start drawing as a club in like episode 2. I think it's still episode 1. They're like make a whole like, what was it, like a helicopter thing? It looks like a dragonfly. And they go on like this whole adventure together, just drawing that. And that's really fun.
Yeah, I really like the like in-universe sound effects that the voice actors are making.
Yes.
I think that's really cute. Although I do have to complain that in episode 3, there's one of those fantasy sequences as a girl holding a sword. And I noticed that like the sound effects when she's like picking up and holding a sword are actual real sound effects and not them imitating like...
Oh my god.
I wish you could hear the girls are like... Clunk. Anyway.
Yeah, it's... Okay, well, at a certain point, their fantasy becomes, like, real, and then it's, like, real sound effects. I think that happens with most of... I think most of the... I think most of those sequences, like towards the end of them, when like things are getting crazy, the sound effects are mostly real or more real. But in the beginning, it starts out like cute and just like their voices. I'm trying to think. Okay, so I guess all in all, what really happens in the last episode is the episode title is just called "Let's Accomplish Something."
I miss that.
Yeah, like, well, in episode 2, it says it's called like Aizoken takes the stage or something like that, and so they get their club room and like they have more fun fantasies, and then in episode 3, they're like, we got to decide on an anime that we're gonna make because we have to present it to the student council so we get funding. So it's just called like Let's Accomplish Something, and they decide. It was like super cute and relatable, especially like little kids, because one girl's like, I want to draw a tank with stuff exploding, and then the other girl's like, no, real animation is just like a person sliding down a hill and falling and like the expression on their face. And then Kanamori had to step in and be like, okay, what if we just do both, and it's like a schoolgirl fighting a tank. And they're like, yeah, okay. And you know what? That was the most excited I was in the whole show, was seeing their concept for a schoolgirl with a machete fighting a tank.
I really did like that, too. I kind of messed up the process of things because I was in Japan and ended up watching episode 4 live. But in Japanese, and my understanding of Japanese is pretty bad, so I did not really understand what they were saying. But I did see this tank concept already before I saw the how they came up with the idea, and so I was really surprised to see how it like I really liked that scene of them basically like brainstorming together, but in a like you're saying, like a childish like yes and like, oh, we'll add this, but then add that, and then like, I mean, it's childish, but it's also like pretty emblematic of like a group creative endeavor. Like, I don't know, that gave me similar vibes of like playing this podcast and being like, oh, I have this idea. Oh, well, no, like this idea doesn't fit with that one. Oh, let's find this other one. And then like, oh, you find something, a format that works. And you're like, oh, great. This is like, we can do that together. And like, all those things. So yeah, I think that was a really good note to end this chunk of episode we're watching, because that's a good note to end on, because that made me the most excited that I've been throughout the other 3 episodes. Because, like, so the first half of episode 3 is about them, like, fixing up the club room and then imagining fantasy sequences of them fixing it up. And it's, like, it's cute when they do those fantasy sequences, but it's, like, there's no real story to it, or, like...
Yeah, there's no, like, real purpose behind their fantasy sequences other than, like, look... We have really good imaginations, and also look how well the animation team who's making this can transition from reality, quote unquote reality, to this more hand-drawn looking world.
Yeah.
And that's, it's, I don't want to discourage people who do like anime production and who are artists from watching this by like complaining that there's no story, because it is really fun and really cute. But I just personally don't feel connected to the characters enough, or like compelled enough to watch it more if I didn't care about the production side of it.
And that's, and I know it's not fair to totally compare this to Shirobako at every point, because it's like,
they're different, but they're the same.
Well, I mean, they're only the same, that they like, they're both covering animation. So like, it's weird to compare on every axis, but it's like, what I feel like works so well in Shirobako was the character driven stories. Like, what's so compelling in it is like that it's these compelling character narratives that happen to be about animation. And this instead is like, it's like almost like the lessons about animation are the most exciting things about the episodes. And the rest of it is like, oh, okay, it's there. And maybe by the end of it, it'll grow into something more.
I, again, sorry to compare it to Shirobako, but I personally didn't like Shirobako as much as I like Aizoken, because Shirobako was really stressful for me. And it just felt a little too real. And I'm trying to escape when I'm watching anime. I don't want to be thinking about work and running around trying to get things done. And Eizouken has like that sense of fun and imagination and like endless possibilities that I was like, yes, I love this. This is way more my speed, because it's like they're just making something to make it. Like their lives and their jobs don't depend on whether or not they make this anime.
Yeah, yeah. Even when they're talking about like the realistic like math of how much they can animate and when, even when they're talking about those like realistic concerns, it's still in a like hyper energetic, like fun way. It's not like,
yeah,
oh man, job sucks, I'm so overworked, I'm depressed kind of way.
Yeah, like what was fun in the third episode is they spend the $300 that they get from selling the footage of Asakusa falling, and they like have like a little funeral for it, the $300. Or it was like 30,000 yen, but $300, mm-hmm. Right?
I really appreciate how third girl, whose name is not Asakusa or Kanemori.
Mizusaki.
She,
the model.
Yeah, when they're like mourning the loss of this $300, and she's like, oh, $300 a lot? That was my allowance like 5 years ago.
Yeah. No, yeah, I do like the jokes with Mizusaki being a rich girl who doesn't understand, and Kanemori being like super like money conscious and clearly trying to get rich and like use her or Mizusaki's model status, mm-hmm. as a way of like getting more people to watch their thing and to make more money. Kanemori is the best girl. She's the funniest. She's the smartest, I'd say. Like, also, I do like the point that is kind of, it feels like it's trying to be made with her being there, is like she is the plan person. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to freak out and like figure out what they want, and they can't agree. And then she steps in. She's like, here's what we need to do. We need to have something flashy that'll impress people. And then, but here's the thing that will make you both happy. And here's the money we need. Here's the schedule. Like, here's how, what you guys need to do. And I do appreciate that. Like watching it, it's like, it's not just about, I guess, the kids like running around making their art and hoping it turns into anime. It's like, no, there's a lot of planning, and like, it doesn't have to be super stressful.
Well,
it
yeah.
can just be like, she's doing it and like, she's just like there and she seems really chill about it.
Well, yeah, I think she's important because she's representing the logistics side of animation production. And that's really important. I was definitely unsold on her role at first, because it's like, okay, these two are really passionate about it, and you're just there. But yeah, I guess I'm coming around to her role, and I guess that is the most, like, I appreciate that it's not obvious at first why she's there. And then it's like,
yeah,
even by the end of episode three, we're more sold on her importance to the actual process. I mean, it's weird because it's like the first couple episodes, it was like, okay, I'm sold on her importance to this fun narrative that like she bought, negotiates for the club and stuff. But it's like, okay, what does this actually add to animation production? And I'm interested to see that angle of it fleshed out more. I'm a little frustrated by how skilled they are as high schoolers. Like,
yeah, the art is crazy. And
right, like when they're talking about Mizusaki being excited to draw a girl falling, like sliding down a hill or whatever, it's like, I just feel like that requires so much technical precision that it's like the actual outcome of a high schooler would be extremely rough and awkward and gross. And instead it's like, no, they can do like amazing things. And it's, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, it's, like, it does take me out of it a little bit when they like find like the camera rig in that old club room, right. And they're just like, oh, here's this old camera thing that you'd use, and here's where you like crank the thing so the background moves slowly. And I was like, how do you, like, I'm sure you're passionate, But you have instant working knowledge of all of this while also being excellent artists and knowing how, like, all of these technical things work. And to me, I was, like, a little, like, okay, you didn't have to ask anybody. You didn't have to Google it. You didn't open a book. You just knew.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, like, normal people go to school and study animation. They don't just, like, find the equipment and, like, oh, I'm an anime fan, so I know how it's made. I found it contrived for even different reasons. Like, I was like, okay, so this... There used to be an animation club, but, like, they had, like, the equipment for a full-on studio. Like, okay.
Yeah.
This is very niche and elaborate equipment. And, like, I feel like the goal for a high school animation production club should be, like, if you get something that's, like, a minute after, like, a year, that would be extremely impressive. But instead, it's, like, that's, like, one of the, like, their goal within a couple months is to have, like, 3 minutes of amazing animation.
Like a 3-minute short.
Right. So I don't know. I mean, but that's also, like, it's clearly supposed to be, like, a more fun ride. And if it were more realistic, it wouldn't have that fun angle. So I appreciate that's what it's going for, but it's a little bit. It's a little bit frustrating when it's also, like, the technical details of animation that it shows are supposed to be so interesting because of how realistic they are, to then have so many other elements of the show be, like, completely fantastical in terms of their ability.
But, yeah, on one hand, I do like the fantastical elements of it and how fun and light it is. But then, yeah, I was like, could you just have, like, pulled out a phone? So I can believe that you knew that you had to, like, look it up, and now you know how it works. Because to me, that, I don't know, that seems more realistic. But I think overall, there are a lot of things I do like about it. And personally, I think I might keep watching it. It's just not very interesting if you don't already like anime production.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep watching it. Like, as someone who is heavily interested in animation production, like, it's right up my alley whether I'm sold on the story or not. And yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate because it does directly contradict what we envisioned for the goal of the show, because it's, like, the show that we both are going to keep watching, but we're like,
I don't know if I would recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I would
also the show gave me tics that took 3 days to get rid of.
Okay, it didn't give you tics. Oh, you got tics on your own.
No, the show gave me. Okay, so
you got tics on your own.
So okay, so in backstory, first day I landed in Japan, I had looked at the schedule for when any anime. I guess this was the show that I was most interested in watching this season. So I saw that. I guess it was episode 3 that was airing then. It was like the Sunday night that I landed in Tokyo. And I was staying in a capsule hotel that didn't have a TV or any TVs in the capsules. So I was like, how can I watch anime? I guess I have to go to a manga cafe. And the neighborhood I was staying in near Haneda Airport did not have good manga cafes. So I went to one that was rated very poorly on Google. And it was only 100 yen or roughly $1 an hour. And I was like, that's very cheap. And these reviews are really bad. But, like, yeah, it smells bad. But that's probably the worst that can happen. But no, I got tics from going to that manga cafe and watching the episode, which I fell asleep while watching because I was really tired from traveling and couldn't understand Japanese very well.
This is horrible. This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
And it took so much effort to get rid of the tics. Oh my God, they were... oh my God. At least it wasn't bed bugs, but it was still like...
Thank God. I still can't believe you. But this anime didn't give you tics.
I wouldn't have, like... I was like, okay, this is silly. I don't need to actually go watch it after a trans-Pacific flight. But then in episode 1, they, like, have that scene where they talk about, like, needing to watch anime live on TV. And I was like, okay, I need to respect the show. In the show, they talked about how they need to do this, so I need to go do this too.
But you can't understand Japanese.
I could understand 50%. roughly, but not when I'm tired and fall asleep.
Oh, my God. Well, okay.
That's my verdict.
Shut up. Shut up. That's enough out of you. All right. So if you had to say, do you love it and want to share it with everybody, or is it just for the weebs?
I think, so we need to make a decision now. Mm-hmm. I think there's potential that by the end of the season, it might be something that come around on has enough of a narrative and a story and a through line and emotional character development to declare it a love it.
Yeah.
But I think for now, I have to say it's a wee bit.
Yeah, I am in the same boat, actually. I think maybe by the end, I'll come back and I'll be like, just kidding, everybody. Love this shit. But for now, it's just for the weebs. It's just for those hardcore weebs who love anime production and artistry, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Aizoken. We love you, but we also don't.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely stands out from the season.
Yeah, I mean, the opening's the best one I've seen so far. So by far, it's like the biggest bop, but...
But I think there's also a category of people that I can think of several people that I follow on Twitter who are less interested. Like the people who are more mature and outside of the anime viewing audience, I think would be more interested in this than your typical light shonen fare, you know? Like,
yeah,
I think I can think of plenty of people who would be more interested in this than watching Black Clover, you know?
But for sure.
That doesn't mean that, yeah, no, it's a reserved recommendation.
Yeah,
it's not.
I would recommend this with like caveats and like.
Mm-hmm. I'd recommend it with caviar, personally.
Shut up! I'm gonna find you and kill you.
Where am I? You never know.
You're 3 feet from me in a different room. all right. Well, that I think that's it. We're saying it's just for the weebs. We love it with reservation, but sorry, everybody, we can't recommend it to everyone. I think that's it. That's our verdict.
Yeah, that's we called it.
This we're
is our
done.
First this is our first
Bye.
Our first wee bit.
our first episode and it's a wee bit. Wow. How sad. I had such high hopes.
Yeah. I do at this point looking at the upcoming slate of things that we're scheduled to cover, like I mm-hmm. And I guess I haven't actually watched any of the other shows yet, but like I do feel fairly confident this will be my personal standout of the season. But yeah, it's a wee bit.
It's a wee bit. Well, thanks everyone for listening to us talk about how we love and also don't love Keep Your Hands Off Aizoken. We're a baby podcast. So
we're baby.
If you want to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever they let you review podcasts, please do that. And if you have comments or you want to recommend that we preview something or review something, you can email us at loveitorweebit@gmail.com or tweet at us or at loveitorweebit on Twitter.
Yeah. And we described this process more in our episode 0, but we have a dedicated slot to cover whatever the audience picks. So yeah, let us know what show you really want us to cover that we missed on our radar. And I guess we'll probably, by the time this episode goes up, have somewhere on this site, loveitorweebit.com, that shows what the upcoming schedule of shows we're bound to cover. So let us know what else you want us to cover.
Yeah. Next week, I think we'll be watching and previewing the first 3 episodes of Toilet Bound Hanako-kun. So if you want to watch that and listen, cool.
Yeah.
If not, and you still want to listen, also great. If you don't want to listen, we have beef now, but it's fine.
Do I need to listen?
Yeah, you have to listen because you have to edit it. I'm not going to do it.
Do I need to watch?
Yes, you do, because we have to talk about it. All right, so maybe there won't be an episode because I will have killed Jeff. But I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Bye.
And as we always say, there's no wrong way to eat an anime. But I think, like, especially whatever tall girl is named, like, she's a really distinctive... Hanamori?
I'm going to throw you into the sea.
All right, let's do it. Let's try it.
No, we're not doing it.
Come on. Okay.
We're not doing this, Jeffrey.
Come on. Can we just see if it works? Try it once.
Bye.
Bye. Wait, okay. Let's try to sing of the bys a little more. All right.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Bye.
Bye.
And as we always say. No, you don't say that part.
I don't say that part. Fuck, okay, I hate this.
Okay.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Bye. Bye.
And as we always say, there's no wrong way to eat an anime. Wait. We should work on the timing. There's no wrong way to eat an anime. No, sorry.
It's a anime.
Sorry. I auto-corrected. Okay. So bye. I think we should pause after way.
Yeah.
Okay. Three. Let's just start with theirs, okay? 3, 2, 1. There's no wrong way to eat an anime. This is hard to say.
It's a bad sentence. We're not doing this. I'm hanging up. Goodbye. Okay.
Bye. And as we always say, there's no wrong way to eat an anime.
Fuck off.